pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us. We do pray for rain. It's very, very dry, as you know. And we have the potential for fires, other emergencies, and are coming into our busy season here in Brown County, so we pray that you might favor us with some rain. Help us all to be careful with fires and to be very prudent with how we handle ourselves and not cause any problems. And Father, we do continue to pray for those around the world who suffer from the ravages of war and starvation. Father, we pray that your hands of mercy might be upon them, and if there's anything we can do, we pray that you let us know. Father, we support many good causes, and we know many of them are working on these problems, but the need is so great, and we know that you said that the poor will be with us always, but we are always in a position to help a little bit more. Father, just bless this meeting, and we pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's yours.
Okay, any additions or changes to the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Blake is not here, and the update on the Bell, the bricks,
okay,
on Bell project. Just briefly, we did go to the DRC last night. It was accepted. It can start, we can break ground. There are several bricks that can be purchased, and if you want Dwayne to do a small little synopsis, you can do that later on if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, it's the courthouse property, any Brown County property that's within the town limits of Nashville, subject to their laws and zoning ordinances and so forth. So we've done this project to put the Bell on the courthouse lawn, and bricks there had to be approved by them, and it was last night. They've been very cooperative with my experience in getting things done together, so glad to hear that. Now, Blake has some paperwork here, but he knows a lot more about it than I do. He'll be back. He tells about it next time. But it is moving along.
There's a couple things that I'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
I talked a little bit about Eric previous to the meeting about the bridge out of Elkinsville. Someone that lives out there got underneath of it, took some pictures. And it's got some pretty hefty steel on it, but he seems to think it's still probably going to need a new bridge. Boy, if you just look at the top, man, it looks bad.
Yeah.
But you see that steel, you know there's something under there, at least. The other thing was I got a call from Mr. Hess from Nullbone Sewer. He says they're going to have to replace one of their tanks, one of their fields that they use that they aerate. It's 25 years old. I think life expectancy was maybe 15 or 20. And he said that they come out the other day and he kind of got rode up with some of it. He said that vacuum leak somehow had stopped and it started working. So, can't really explain it, but he said that part is good, but
yeah.
He seems to think that the new tank would cost about $60,000 or something. I don't know if we get that capital loan money, if any of that money can move that way, take care of some of that. He also said that somebody had talked to him about putting in like a great big concrete like tank called a digester. He said you're probably looking at up to maybe $400,000 on that. We probably need to talk with ARA. I'm kind of doing this ahead of time. Should I just wait on this? Okay, let me finish it out, then we will have talked about it.
Okay.
We can't really do anything at this second about any of this. But we probably need to approach ARA and see about some help through them with that. I don't know. Thought Dave might be here, but you know they say if that thing fails and gets handed off, it's going to get handed to us.
Yeah.
I do know on that ARA said that we could do a income study out there, and that would help us then she could get that going for us. We could do that out there in Albon, and we could do an income study in Helmsburg. There's two different grants.
I propose we move on that as soon as possible.
Okay.
I know that would be the first step, and I've been told by some pretty reliable sources that there is money out there to help renovate and repair that system. It is now over 20 years old, so, you know, it's everything has life expectancy, and it's, they put two of those tanks in, they put the original one in, and they built the system. They added a second one in 2003, 2004, 2005.
I think you said that second tank is coming up on 20 years old also.
Well, it was put in when Forest Fields Apartments went in, whenever that was. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, it was 2005. Yeah, it'd be coming up on 20 years also.
So we need to get the documentation. I think you said she was gone for vacation.
Yeah, she'll be gone for a week.
Kevin Allen has been talking to him. Says it's going to, they need about $60,000 for an engineer study. We could put the extra tank in. That money might be better spent put the tank in. But until we figure out how we're going to help them with financially, I don't know what else to do.
And that plant would definitely be expanded. And right now, it's at basically, it's at its limit. No more development can happen in Norfolk unless that plant is expanded. They have a total of 50,000 gallons a day capacity with the two units. And I understand they've been at 38,000 to 40,000. When they get over 40,000, that's 80%, and the state starts looking at it. And, you know, like that. So,
well, Dave still might show up today, and if he does, then we'll let him inform us on some of that.
Sure.
Okay. But, okay.
Yeah, anything we can do to help out there would be very beneficial for the county, for the residents as a whole. Whether you like development or not, so that does generate some more taxes. Definitely, in this situation. So.
Okay.
The medicine claims.
Yeah, I looked at all of them yesterday. It's just that this one was new today, and the one that you kind of landed on, I landed on, I didn't understand that it was Ramblin' Dog Designs LLC. I didn't know. I have a clue what it was, but that's, I guess, where they went out and they reworked the signs and touched up the signs on coming into Nashville, and yeah, but it was through the Convention, Visitor, and Tourist Total from the 2011-27 fund. So that's where that was. Other than that, I've looked at the claims and the minutes, and I'm good with them. Okay. If you'd entertain a motion, I'll make one.
All right, I do.
I make a motion we approve the minutes and claims from the last meeting.
I'd second that motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, the old business then, we talked about the bricks, the courthouse.
EMA siren?
They will be available for purchase, and I'd like to know more about the term of that meeting. EMA siren funding.
I think Teresa might have an update on some of that.
I still have not secured the funding, the $39,000, so we're still looking. Julie's helping me out, so it's the end of the year.
Yeah, it's end of the year. It's getting tight.
It's a very unexpected expense, so that is still on hold.
Okay. Well, let's move then along to county office department reports. Historical Society, requesting funding, help with Pioneer Village building and grounds. Rebecca Patton and Kathy Kasmeyer. Hello.
Make sure it's on. First, the green light on top.
There we go. Hi, I'm Rebecca Patton. Kathy didn't come up here, but anyway. The Brown County Historical Society, and like everyone that comes before you, I would say we are asking for additional funds. In 2016, you gave us $25,000 for repair of Pioneer Village needs and upkeep. And we are at the bottom of that barrel now. We will be able to, you know, pay bills we have incurred, but there are some kind of extensive repairs that will need to be made to the community building. We got bugs and then birds.
I was out at Gypsy Moon over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I seen some logs out there.
You did?
I don't know if they would be compatible with what you got. They're probably not as old as what you got, but they look like, I mean, they were grayed out, looked like, had a pretty nice pile there. So whoever does that work for you, you might suggest it to go out there and see if any of that is usable for them.
Thank you.
I think that stuff's hard to come by.
Very. Incredibly hard to come by.
I'm assuming it's at the bottom that's rotted out.
Mm-hmm. It's all actually, no. What's happened wasn't even rot. We got powder post beetles in there. And then the woodpeckers came and made the enlarged holes. And so we've got quite a few holes, some logs that will actually have to come out of that building and be replaced.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've seen with some pretty hefty looking logs. If my eyes weren't deceiving.
Thank you. Yes, it's always at Gypsy Moon Market. Flea Market.
Nalbonne?
Thank you, because they are hard to come by. We have a few smaller pieces, but not enough to do what needs to be done at this point. So I haven't been able to give you a dollar amount request because I don't even have bids in for that repair work yet. We have one coming, but right now I don't know what kind of money we're talking. And the last thing I wanted to say to you is about the drain. We also get Watershed down Gould Street that gets under that community building.
Locust Lane.
Pardon?
Locust Lane.
Locust Lane. Yeah. It comes down the street. It goes south, and it stands, even we keep a sump pump in there, and it stands sometimes 10, 12 inches of water. So just want you guys to be aware of that, because right now we're kind of not keeping above that. Right now we probably are fine, but last time we checked, not keeping it above. So.
Yeah, I personally support the Historical Society completely. And it's been an organization that's been very, very frugal with their funds.
We try.
It's amazing to me what they've been able to do with what they have. A beautiful center over here that got built for a very, very reasonable cost, unbelievably inexpensive, in my opinion, like $5 million.
And no tax dollars.
Yeah, exactly. So this is money that's well handled, whatever goes to them. I have no problem with that.
Thank you, sir.
So, you know, whatever we can find in the budget that we can come up with to help, give us some idea of a number, and we'll see what we can do.
I appreciate that. Kathy did just remind me there are also a couple of sycamore trees that are kind of on the courthouse property and on our property both, and you know those sycamore roots will go, but those two are probably going to need to come out.
Yeah.
Just something else I can add.
We've had a lot of trees around the courthouse that are just basically dying of old age.
In the year for it.
Take several of them out already.
Can we take them out?
Okay. Got somebody else?
Yeah.
Can I make some suggestions? Because for the Bell project, it is possible that we can ask Brown County Foundation, Community Foundation, to help us because they have an emergency fund.
Can you hear my?
That if I know county doesn't have money, so I think those Brown County Foundation can be a good source that the outreach, or maybe we do some community fundraiser, something that we can be more creative collecting money for $39,000. Also, the Historical Society, I really think the building, and I participated a little bit of a gathering last weekend, it was really, really unique cultural kind of a festival event in Brown County. And a lot of tourists came, they really enjoyed it. It's really part of our tourism business, honestly. So in the for future reference, that this Convention Visitor Center Commission or CBB, if they can be more efficiently operating, they should be able to support Historical Society's kind of really big tourism. This is a really need for our tourism aspect. So I just want to give you a little insight that we cannot solve the commission and county, we know we don't have money. We are going down in our reserve. So that we need to be a little creative in utilizing the community resources available so that we don't want to really burden our government too much when we know that what's going on. So it's just kind of a suggestion. Also, historic society, never shy to reach out to, you know, this is really urgent. I think Brown County Community Foundation might find something for you. I strongly, strongly, strongly suggest.
Thank you.
As far as my two cents is, Mr. Pittman has pledged to help you. If we got any money, you know, you give us a number. You got any money at the end of the year? If not, it rolls over to next year's new commissioners. I think I'll still be here. So, yeah, we're all in support.
The water that drains down Locust Lane, is that the town? It needs a drain. There's a drain on the east side of Locust Lane at the corner of Gould and Locust Lane, but there's not one on the west side of that street. So the water goes down like this. Who would we talk about putting a drain in there and a curb along the on the north side of that property?
That's in town.
The town and not the commission. Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, Jerry.
Tim Clark. Jerry, on the historical thing, there's over 50 categories of tourism that revenue from the income tax can be used for tourism. And you know, and you guys select people to CBC, and what we don't do, what I typically hear when you talk about that revenue, it goes to the CBB and it's kind of Nashville centric. But we have a lot of activity within the county that's tourism related, and this is certainly tourism related. I mean, Peace of Valley Heritage has a lot of projects, especially with the headstones. I mean, they raise private money for that. I don't know where they get. I think the foundation gets money, but anything to do with tourism, we can use that revenue from the income tax, and it's always budgeted and passed through. And what one suggestion you could have is the commissioners could identify what your concept or vision is for tourism, and then when you select people for CBC, focus those budget priorities on all the different things we could do for use of that money to promote more tourism in everything county.
Good idea, sir.
That's a source of revenue, and they may have the money, don't have to go to county. Or have anything to do with tourism.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You're correct about that. They have done limited things. I think it was maybe a radio project and something else, I think, $35,000. I can't remember now. Not anything big, but there have been a couple of things that have done out of that money. And you're right. I mean, it's money for tourism. And that's what set up for, and it's all to be used for some way or another to promote Brown County and our tourism. So, yes. Okay, very good. Moving right along then, our Human Resource Commissioner Assistant, Teresa Cobian.
No, it's not Cobian. Is it Cobian or?
Yeah, it's Cobian, not Cobain. I'm not Cobian. Not related to Kurt.
No relation to Kurt.
Yeah, no relation. Yeah. I'd like to have some of the proceeds with cash. Update on the 2025 health insurance for the employees. We did move forward. You guys signed the agreement. We are going to go with Anthem this year. Should be pretty even for the employees. No harsh increases or decreases. And the Sycamore roof, I put the roof on your table. I did ask for a bid for non-metal. This is the Sycamore building out on Lamar Way. So that's $10,000.
That's for the metal roof.
That's for the metal. So I asked it to be requoted. But that's a hot topic, right? We want that done before winter.
Yeah.
So. He still hasn't been able to get the siding on that building quoted for me yet. And then my other business is the Rumpke agreements. Mike Moga had looked at the, he's on phone, by the way, we can't, this isn't working right. He made three suggestions on the contracts. When I called them, they agreed to our changes to the contracts. They had net 10, we made it to net 30. If we cancel the contracts, they were going to charge us 6 months we got that canceled out of there, and we changed it to, if we want to cancel the contract, we can cancel via letter 30 days prior. So I need you guys to sign all those tonight.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that's more reasonable than that, but at one time we were talking about $30,000 or $35,000, that's a bit high for the roof. But yeah, $10,000 is probably.
Well, I see something in here that when I was talking to you about, a lot of people don't put underneath the metal and it causes condensation and sweats, and
yeah.
It's just, I see people build pole barns and it's just almost a waste to do it. If I'm looking at this right, it looks like there's an R&R synthetic underlayment, 22 squares. I'm going to say that's probably about the size of that roof, which that underlayment should prevent the condensation and sweat.
So this is a good quote?
Well, I don't know. And then the other question I'd like to ask them is where they're going to put the screws in the metal, where they're going to put them on the flat part of the rib.
Would you like me to get him on our agenda to come in here?
No, I can talk to him over the phone.
Okay.
That's a simple thing. But typically, carpenters will put them in the flat spot, where roofers put them in the rib. Technically, it should go into the rib, but sometimes they don't even know. It's easier to get the screw because it's flat, it's right on the board. But they use a little punch, drill, it's no big deal. So anyway, there was that. So we'll go ahead and check into that a little bit more.
Here are roofing guys, so we'll have you check that out.
And yeah, sure that's fine. Thing. I'd still like to get a quote for the shingle. If we could cut it in half, I'd probably be interested in doing half.
Well, yeah, you think it's
half money? Would be good.
I don't know if that's quite possible, but I'm sure there's a savings. Metal's usually twice as much. That's just my thoughts on it.
Entertain any suggestions on that roof replacement?
Oh.
Yes, Tim. Come to Mike, please.
I just want to say something about your roof. You're talking about shingles and metal. Your metal roof will insure for probably 33% less than shingles will, because they last longer. And they don't have to worry about the damage. It's a big insurance deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they got put metal on this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether you want to pay that extra. It's at the end of the year and we're kind of running out of money. And it needs to be done now, not later, because there's tabs blowed off. And if the water starts getting in there, it could mold it up, and then you got a whole nother issue.
Would you like to get a quote on
the... He's working on the shingles.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, I emailed him the other day.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, we'll look at wait till our next meeting. And
just table it.
Okay.
Let me back up to the Rumpke thing, because
yeah.
I was reading that. So, what was you saying Rumpke's decided to do? Or we decided to do, we're going to go ahead and still use Rumpke, the contract?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You got it figured out?
Yes. Mike Moga sent us all the recommendations. I called and talked to them today, to our rep. She had no problem with our changes. She said that was very common, just to write them on our changes and initial them and have you guys sign them.
Okay. And the update on the health insurance is? One more time.
We're going with Anthem.
Yeah.
And it will be, we're actually now seeing all the work that's been done on the health insurance moving forward, we're actually able to budget at the higher end for ourselves so that we're not going to be, you know, scraping our teeth to come up with the cash at the end of the year. Currently, we have $400,000 in there right now. So that's great for this time of year.
That's fabulous for this time of year.
Yeah. So all of our changes and improvements they're coming to fruition.
We made some substantive changes a few years ago that kind of changed the trajectory of our healthcare costs. Our plan isn't quite as friendly to the employees as it once was, but still a very, very good health insurance plan and better than you can find in most counties.
Well, and we changed from SIHO because SIHO changed to Community Health Network and took IU out,
right.
So it wouldn't have been beneficial to any of us to go to Community rather than IU.
That was the driving force in
yeah.
the change, and also the pricing was competitive.
Yeah, they were 57% higher.
Yeah,
SIHO was.
But we have this new IU Health Clinic right here front door, and if we stayed with SIHO, they would be considered out of network.
Yes.
And pay double that, so we couldn't do that to our employees at any rate. So we did make the change to Anthem, and they've come with some very good recommendations from others who've had them. It's a large, nationally known company. And basically, it's going to be pretty much the same benefits to employees, just changing
the deductibles went down.
Yeah.
Per person and per family, so that was huge. Huge deduction in the deductibles.
Okay, very good.
I've seen someone come in that might be able to speak a little bit to us about the Knobbone sewer. If you feel like getting thrown under the bus there, Kevin?
Oh, why not?
You're kind of used to it.
I talked to Dave Hess a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that he said, the state come out, they got some steel crates rotting out on the first tank that they had built.
Yeah.
And he's thinking that $60,000 will reline, do a new tank. And he's saying something about some kind of digester, concrete digester, someone's talking to him about.
Well, that'd be neat.
$400,000, maybe. And he said you wanted $60,000 to do a, what do you call it, engineer study.
Okay.
Where we're at, where we're at is with the money. I asked if, when we got the $4 million loan, if there's any way any of that could be used on capital improvements. It was just a thought. Mm-hmm. My other thought was to reach out to ARA, the grant writer, and see if they could assist some way. And then there was you.
Okay.
So if you could see, I asked Dave, he could come, don't look like he made it, but if you could kind of pull like ramblings together.
Thank you for using that word. Okay. That's why I'm getting ready to say I think there have been some ramblings going a lot of different directions.
Right.
All right, I wasn't ready for this, but let me rewind. Last week I got a call from Dave, like 10 o'clock, Monday morning. He said that he's had a catastrophe, is the word he used. He was pretty wound up, and I understand why, because that he was just getting his arms around the pipe. There was some 3 or 4 inch piping in plant number one that actually just dropped apart from the rust. About the down, there's one end of the treatment package plant where the grading, about the first third of it is, you can pick up a 6 inch plank that's supposed to be great and just twist it. It crumbles. It's all rusted away. The frame supporting that stuff is rusted away. And they had to shut plant one down. So they're diverting everything into plant two, and he was really worried that that was not going to be able to perform and their discharge wasn't going to meet criteria. Okay. And then on top of that, they had another break in their vacuum system. So he had plant one down, plant two overloaded, and the vacuum system went bad. But they found another one of the stuffed valves, and they got it working again since then. So I made a couple phone calls trying to find him some help, and I called Lucy Lynch, who is Eric Cook's legislative assistant, and told her, well, first of all, I left a voice message. Word of advice, when you call a legislative assistant, don't leave a voice message. Don't. Because instead of calling me back and getting a little more detail, gotta admire her initiative. She talked to Eric, and Eric said, well, why don't you get this information to so-and-so at IDEM? So me being the guy come first, I am. I had sort of repeated Dave Hess's comments, i.e. catastrophe. Well, that voicemail with me saying had a catastrophe at Knobbone got bumped all the way up to like probably the director of IDEM. Like, great. Sorry, Dave, that's not what the intention was. So we got that back under control, and the fellow from IDEM came out and was actually very helpful and said, okay, you're Jeff Farmer from By Nathaniel was also very helpful in doing some valving and some making adjustments on plant two, the way I understand it, and it is discharging and it is meeting the criteria. So It's not bad discharge. So at the meeting, the Novel and Sewer Board meeting that Monday, I went there and got some information about the amount of grants and what types of grants are available. And there is a $60,000 grant program for helping small utilities like this. And we got into the discussion of, first of all, you know, this is not to throw Dave under the bus. There's no more room. I'm out here all by myself. The way Dave has managed that system out there is admirable, that he's kept the cost under control. Right now it's like $60. And in his mind, and I appreciate his position on it, that's covered their operating costs and very, very little as far as building up a cash reserve. And that's perfectly fine. What has happened is they have had to make a couple large expenditures in the last few months, and now they've got this, and they're questioning whether or not they've got enough cash on hand. Now, you said 30 or 40,000 to fix something?
No, I think it was 60.
60, okay. When I went out there, he said, Jeff, these guys had said 80 to 90 on one of them, and then 30,000 or more on the other one, because Plant 2 still needs some work also. And we didn't even know what was going on with the vacuum system. So anyway, I went back, made some more phone calls, and went to the board meeting and pointed out that their monthly rate is so low that they can't qualify for an SRF grant. The way SRF looks at rural sewer utilities is there's a state mean, a statewide mean on these things. What's the average rural utility sewer bill? And that's right around $84, $85. So if you want to apply for a funding program, SRF, OCRA, Rural Development, they look at that level. And you can still get a low interest loan if you're below $85. You can't get a grant if you're below $85. Because you're running a really good, they look at it from the financial standpoint, your monthly bill. They look at that $60, 25 below the state average. Wow, you're watching your books. You're keeping your costs down. Why do you need our help? Okay, well, they've not been charging an extra $10 or $15 or $18 a month that they could have put into a cash reserve, you know, rainy day fund, maintenance and repair fund. So they're going to be looking, the way I understand it, and I don't need to be speaking for the board here, but I have no authority to do that. Their bookkeeper and Donna Lutz and Dave and I were the only ones at this meeting. And I pointed out that here's an example. If you go back to year 2000 when the district normally was established, and you look at $60, what's $60 in 2000 worth today? Guess what? $85. So you need to keep up with your increased electric bill, your increased water bill, maintenance paid, parts go up. They need to keep up with that. Now, there is still hope out there, because back in the spring, I filled out a Ready 2.0 application for them for $1.2 million. I think I've said this a few times. There is a catch to the Ready 2.0 money. Here in the Uplands region, which we're a part of, the Ready 2.0 law said that you had to spend 65% of your Ready 1.0 funds before the Ready 2.0 funds kicked in. This initiated a call to the Uplands office a couple weeks ago because I saw a news article where Columbus Parks and Rec spent Ready 2.0 money. I don't remember how much the article said, but it specifically said Ready 2.0 dollars on putting artificial turf on one of their softball diamond facilities. So that 65% expenditure is by region. So the Upland region, and this was several weeks ago, almost 2 months ago now, had only spent like 51 or 52% of their Ready 1.0 money allocation. So think of it this way, you know, our Upland region has asked for dollars for projects. We got money. We said we were going to spend it at a certain rate. And I say we, I'm talking about the Upland region as a whole. So Ready 2.0 comes out to do the same thing, and they go around the regions. You get more money, you get more money, you get more money, you get more money. Okay, we've given you some more money, but we're not dispersing it yet because you haven't spent enough of your first gift. Okay, so I think the Brown County RSD, Regional Sewer District, put in an application. I helped Clint with that a little bit. And then the Nauvoo RSD, I got with Donna Luce, and we filled that one out. Now, as far as a digester goes, and looking at their growth, potential growth, because I know there's rumors of a subdivision or more apartments going in and out of Nauvoo, and depending on what day it is, you can look at their flows, and they're real close to their limit. They're real close if you look at the allocation letters. It wiggles around. So the question was, where this digester comes in, is they have two package plants roll off the truck. The tanks themselves aren't in that bad a shape, meaning the heavy structural steel tanks. It's the plumbing and the diversion weirs and things like that inside of them. That's plant one. The inlet third is just about gone. And that's what I think Jeff Farmer from Miami-Dade was talking to Dave about, draining that, sandblasting it. There is an epoxy bonding reinforcing type of material that can be applied inside of this once the rust is cleaned off. And it can give you another, 10 years of life or so. The question was, how do you get a little more capacity or a little more life out of that setup? And one of the things I sort of took a brief look at for them was to use those two existing plants as both an aerator and a clarifying tank, and then changing the piping, and you would build a concrete tank that would be the digester. That's where a lot of the corrosion and stuff happens at, because it sets there so long. So, and in the grant application, I spelled all this stuff out, because on one hand, you got to tell them where's all the money coming from. The other hand, you got to tell them what you're going to spend it on. So it was going to be maybe $500,000 or so, $400,000 to build this digester. Some of the money was going to have to be spent to do an engineering study, because it's still having serious issues with the vacuum system, the collection system. Part of it was set aside to do a rate study, because you start doing these things, start getting your repairs under control, he's going to have to raise his rates. I believe they can do that without a rate study, but you can't apply for a grant or a loan from SRF without a rate study. So a lot of these things were put in there to sort of help them get on the right path so they can move forward without being in a panic every time something broke and they needed to fix something.
That tank is going to be drained and coated?
Yeah, he called it rhino-lined.
It would almost have to start today, before the end of the year, before it turns bad.
Yep, and I've got no control, or I've got no dog in that fight. But just sticking my nose in where it doesn't belong in, and offering my help. So, he's got sized task on hand out there.
Let's, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you're very informative. Go ahead.
Jeff Farmer, Bynum Fandy Utilities, he's very helpful to him. Okay, he's a decent guy. He's going to help get this under control. But bottom line on it is, you're still looking at maybe getting 5, 8, I think they'd be lucky to get 10 years because their plant is kind of in the same situation that Helmswood plant is in. It's been patched. It's got patches on patches. So, yeah, there's a serious financial operational issue that's, you might be able to slow it down, but it's going to have to be dealt with. So, hope that answers some of your question. It cleans up some.
Oh, man, he's good.
I have a question.
I'm glad you showed up.
Thanks. I'm glad to help.
If they reconfigured like you were talking about and built the digester, would that increase the capacity of the plant?
Some. I've not, you know, we've not done an engineering design yet, but just looking at the flows, just the increased area volumes that they could have sitting there, you're going to get an increased GDP, or, yeah, MGD, daily plant capacity, from doing that. And whether or not they can move from 50 to 80 or from 50 to 95, we would have to, you know, we'd have to get samples of their flow, look at the concentration of the waste load coming into the plant, run through their biological oxygen demand calculations, look at the flow that's going out into Navajo Creek, look at their NPDES permit, and see if it has enough headroom to increase a flow discharge. It should have up to 75,000 because the original plans for the treatment center there had three of these 25,000-gallon a day package plants. Now, some people could look at that and say, well, let's put the third one in and retire the first one and stay at the 50,000 gallons. Well, then you're looking at, I've heard these range from $1.5 million to almost $3 million to put one of these things in now. How is, what have they got, 80, 94 customers? I don't know how you can put that debt on 94 customers. So, looking at some of the demand around the perimeter of Navajo, kind of like you did up at Helmsburg, is there a way to maybe we'll expand the collection system and bring in some more customers, maybe get that up to 150, 180, maybe double their customer base? But there's a lot of decisions that's going to have a hard look at it to help those guys move forward in the next 5 to 8 to 10 years.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
And well, you put something in and, you know, it works fine for a number of years and then you start doing repairs and eventually it runs out. I mean,
yeah.
There's a life expectancy when you just
well, and over. The typical life expectancy of those types of plants is 25 years and plant number one is 23 years old, 24 years old. So, there you go.
There you go. Okay. Well, thank you. We appreciate the information. You always have us an answer for us. The ultimate answer is yet to be determined, but we'll find a way. I know we will find a way. We're not just going to let that plant close up out there. It's not going to happen. We'll find a way. All right. Thank you very much. I think, Eric, tell us about the highway situation.
Not much to tell. You guys have my report. Just a few highlights. We have ordered a small structures package. It's not really what we wanted starting out, but it's on Hamilton Creek. You know, it's we got two small structures we're gonna fix. The first one we're doing a graded bridge package. We had our consultants look at the abutments. The abutments are in great shape, so we're gonna salvage them. We're gonna do new beams and a graded deck. I think those bridges have four beams maybe under them, and we're going back with, I think, six or eight. And then they're also going to be galvanized coated, So we're going to try that, and hopefully it'll stop some of the issues we've had in the past. But that being said, this package was right at $30,000, so we've got a little saw cutting to do, and our guys are going to do the rest of the work. So the next option was at least $60,000 just for materials, not our time. So we're going to save some money. They've got to be fixed. They're in bad shape. So we're doing that.
Where is that one?
It's down on Hamilton Creek.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the southern kind of part of the county. And going back graded, you know, it's not a lot of traffic on that road. There's already a couple down there in that area. So, it, you know, we've got enough of them in this county. It's going to be...
Some of the people got a bad impression about the graded bridges recently. But it wasn't the grade, it was the problems like the one on Mount Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
The grade was fine.
Yeah, we've never...
Like substructure, and when they put some of these in years ago, they did not put new beams in.
No,
they didn't. They just laid the grade on top of the old ones, and then,
yeah,
you know, that was what gave out, not the grade.
Yeah, we've not had any of the actual grates deteriorate. They've been great. They may have popped some welds here or there, but they've not fell apart. It's always the beams. We're going with this galvanized coating, which was about an extra $2,400, so I think it's worth the price to try it on this structure. And if this works out well, we'll order the next one, which is the same road, just down the street. So then we'll get both of these fixed. So I told you we were starting with Biolytics for our PASER ratings and stuff. We started that this past month, and that's been great. We have probably 80% of our paved roads already rated. Which takes thousands and thousands of pictures. That's awesome. You can go back and look at any data you want. You can look at cracks and puddles and signs, and it's great. So it's working out pretty good. I've been working on our budget very hard, talking with Teresa. We know we've got to crunch numbers. We know we're over from what we take in. So there's some things we have to do, and there's some stuff we're working on. Hopefully moving forward, you guys and council will be able to get things straightened out and back on track. So, and then talking about Rumpke, we actually canceled our Rumpke dumpster down at our shop. We have the recycling center that's right there. They have a 30-40 yard dumpster, and I talked with Phil, and he told us to put our trash in their dumpster. They dump their dumpster twice a week. He told us there's no reason for us to pay for that dumpster, so we canceled our contract. We actually just got the final bill today, so that we'll pay that. They'll pick their dumpster up, and we'll save that money on, you know, trash pickup.
Sometimes it pays to have a good relationship with your neighbor.
Yeah, they've been good to me, and we've been good to them, so we've been working good together. Just last week, we were able to get rid of, I would say, 50, 60 tires from their tire day they do once a year.
Yeah.
So we had a huge stack of tires, and we put them by the semi-trailer they had, and they loaded them up. So we got rid of all of our tires.
Good. Those are a liability.
And I did team up with Clark Deeds Engineering to help out with our community crossings next year moving forward. Well, actually this year, because we've got to get all of our ducks in a row so it can be submitted. And as it looks right now with where our budget is, we will use our community crossings for Country Club Bridge.
So it would be $1.5 million.
I think $1.3 million. If we don't, it's going to eat up every bit of our Hume Bridge money. And there's no reason to deplete that. So
you have to save something back for an emergency.
Yeah, and I've got some plans for paving. We just got to get the numbers worked out and get some stuff taken care of.
Yeah.
Sure.
The paving didn't make it into the bond. Did you know that?
The what?
The paving didn't make it into the bond. The paving's always a part of the go bond.
Well, I was told, and it may have been because the money in the past hadn't been spent like it should have. So it looked like the highway had money, and we do have a decent amount of money, you know, cash, but we'll burn that up really fast if we don't watch it. I spoke with Jackie, who used to do, you know, our budget stuff, and She said Brown County's always, the highway department's always been in the bond. That's how they used to pay to have their roads paved. They were always in that. She said, if you're not in that, I don't understand why you wouldn't be in that.
You're talking about the $4 million loan?
Yeah, and when I talked to, what's his name? Greg Veritas, he said that it was never presented to be put into the bond.
I don't remember hearing it.
It wasn't.
That's a problem.
$3,850,000 or $75,000 paving.
And see, that's kind of what we need, because we need to use our, where we're at with our bridges, we need to use our community crossings for bridges, like all of these other counties are doing. And then we need to have our own money for our paving. I think we get the most bang for our buck for, you know, our bridges and community crossing. We only bring in a little under $500,000, you know, in the Hume Bridge Fund, and we've got over 200 and some going out in salary and benefits. So there's not a lot of money there to pay for bridge repair. And we've got 1.3 million at Country Club, 430 or 500 at Hoover. We've got Elkinsville coming up in a couple years that, you know, is going to be a federal project. So we've got a lot of money getting to go out in bridges. We need to save all we can. And
we have Mount Liberty, so 46, that's down to a 6-10 limit.
Yeah, we got that one. And then talking about Elkinsville, we actually received our lumber order today. So we took that back to our shop and we started coating it with wood treatment. So we're doing that, and that'll be going on here soon. And I know the beams under there look good as far as what you said those pictures look like. I haven't personally been under there. I'm going off of my bridge inspection book and my consultants. The abutments are in bad shape. There's some undercutting. There's some other issues.
It looks like they've been there a while.
Yeah, there's a lot more issues than just the decking. That is an issue. And it's such a long bridge. It's such a big bridge. And from everything that I've been hearing, that's a full replacement bridge.
Yeah.
And that being said, it'll have to be federally funded. You're talking, you know, $2 million bridge or more. So, you know, it's 80-20, so.
Yeah, I've always contended that the feds ought to kick in a substantial amount for that bridge. Again, as that's the access to all that state and federal land down there,
mm-hmm.
for a reservoir.
Yeah.
I don't think the county should have to bear all the cost of that road from basically the story all the way down to the back part.
Yeah, and we've got the bridge actually right before that, what, Kirk's Ford, I think.
Yeah.
There's one house, and I think there may be two pieces of property back there that's not state-owned, and everything else back there is state-owned, and that
bridge. Most of the traffic going down there are people going to the recreation area. Mm-hmm.
Not, yeah.
We don't have that many people live down there. I don't know exactly what the total number of residents is below that bridge. That's not real, not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be some families, and maybe.
And I did finally receive a key to the Combs Road gate down there off of Elkinsville. So I do have a key. We can open that gate up. I know there were some talks about looking at Combs Road going all the way to Jackson County to see how bad a shape it's actually in. You know, that's something that I have a key now. I haven't tried it, but
okay.
they mailed me a key. So I know Blake was interested in looking, and whenever, you know, we can get something down there, and hopefully something, you know, with a cab or something, so we're not snakes and ticks and bugs. But we'll see what kind of shape it's in and see if that's ever a possibility to at least open up for an emergency access, or if we have that bridge issue and we need to do something.
Good to know.
And then I am working on our bridge contract for our inspections for our next 4 years. I should have that finalized here soon and be able to email it to everybody to review. I've already shown it to NDOT and got their blessings. As long as they said I'm happy with it, we can move forward. So as soon as I get a signed copy, I'll get it dispersed, and you guys can have a chance to look at it, hopefully sign it at our next meeting so I can get that submitted to NDOT so we're compliant.
Well, I certainly appreciate the job you've done so far, and there was a lot of naysayers in the beginning. But you've come into it very well. You've taken the bull by the horns, and you've immersed yourself in it and learned what needed to be done and dealt with the financing of it. And you got a crew of pretty satisfied employees down there. I think the place is getting better all the time. It's more to take care of the roads. I have less complaints. We still don't have enough money. Never will have enough money, but we do the best we can with what we have, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. We learn something new every day.
So. Where are we at on the bonds? Is there a follow-up on that? Greg Geertos tells us, Barnes and Thornburg tells us, how many?
Nobody's told me anything. I don't know where they are.
I know that the one time that we talked about it, there was a possibility maybe, you know, when we did a phone conversation about the dump truck being in the bond. And then the next conversation I had with Melissa was, oh, I think that money's already spoken for. So I have not heard the highway being a part of that at all. And it really does somehow need to fit in there for paving. I mean, with the cuts that we have to make so we're actually on budget, it needs to come out of that somehow. I mean, I've already wrote down a bunch of cuts, and I think we'll be okay, but we've got to pave roads as well as fix bridges.
Yeah.
But if I have to pick, I'm going to pick bridges.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to get over the bridge to get home, so, I mean, that's we have to drive on a rough road until we fix the road. I mean, we have to do bridges.
Can't have roads to nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, I know back from the beginnings of my knowledge of road funding that was one of the primary reasons for taking out the general obligation bond to begin with was to get money to pay roads with. But we didn't get enough from the state to put a dent in what needed to be done. And back about 10 years ago, we came up with a plan to get some of this done, and the first money we got from $2 million. I think maybe what's happening is there's so many big expenses crushing right now. We don't know for sure what the air conditioning for jail is going to cost, but that started out $400,000 to $500,000.
640.
Now it's up to $1 million possibly. And then the prosecutor's office, we still don't know for sure what we're going to have to spend on that project. So, you know, $4 million sounds like a lot of money, but if you take $1 million out, $2 million out, we're down to $1 million. Much of it is
that's the best
that the county council will be able to approve.
You want 850? You want
850? I don't have a number right at the moment. You know, it's just
that's what the last round, I believe.
I'll take what we can get to pave. I mean, if I pave a couple roads a year, it's at least a couple roads.
Yeah.
Did you have something in audience, sir? You want to add?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I subject.
I had a couple questions.
About Mike? Yeah. Sure.
Tim Ford, I guess you guys know I still got problems with 43. It's been over a year. Not one thing's been done out there.
I would like to know. Bridge?
Yes.
I just talked about that.
All right. Got a couple questions.
Shoot.
How are we going to attach the deck, and how much of it are you replacing?
I'm not replacing.
Because the deck itself, I've got pictures of holes completely through it.
No,
it's not safe to walk on.
Well, I walked on it.
Go to the far end on the left. Trot it out. I got holes. You can see all the way through the water.
We talked a little bit about that, I believe it was the last meeting, about spreading the boards that were taken loose out a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about doing some different things, and I mean, when we get down there, we're going to try to address it more.
With nails?
No, we're not using nails. We're using some different screws.
Thank you. So, yep. 10 years I've been trying to get that done.
I haven't been here 10 years.
I know. I know. My suggestion is, instead of putting down one layer of runners, put down two. Then you've got something more to bolt.
It's actually going to be about 3 or 4 boards wide.
Yeah, but I'm talking double thickness.
These are true 2-inch sawmill, you know.
Well, what you're bolting to down there on that, what I would call the decking, is rotten.
I understand.
You bolt the rotten stuff, it ain't gonna stay in there. I've been under it. I've got pictures right here.
I got a bunch of pictures this
underneath
week.
It. It does have some heavy beams.
Those are heavy beams.
It has some major rust, and the welds are poor.
We're moving in the right direction. We're going to do something instead of nothing.
As long as you're moving in a direction where you ain't got no nails. Because I got a problem with it every day.
But you don't. Your wife does, right?
Exactly. It comes out of my pocket.
Gotcha.
So I do have a problem with
yeah.
it.
We have a bridge inspection company that we retain, inspects all of our bridges, anything that's 20 feet or longer. Is it 20 feet or is it over 20 feet?
Longer than 20 feet.
Okay,
yeah.
So if it's 20 feet and 1 inch, it's a bridge.
Correct. That's a bridge yes. down there.
Yeah, that's a bridge. Inspected. Yeah. And we take seriously what the inspection report gives us for weight limits, longevity, and so forth. You know, we're not going to keep the bridge open that's in danger of falling into creek.
It no longer has a weight limit on it. They took the sign down.
Well, we have a lot of stolen signs.
It wasn't stolen, it was replaced with a one with an arrow on it.
We've had signs that were put up at 8 o'clock in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, they were gone. I mean, it is pathetic.
How long is it going to be before you get down there?
We are hoping to next week.
Let me know. Send me an email or something when you're going to be down there. I'll try and come down there and take them.
Yeah, we actually had the assistant was down there yesterday pulling some nails out. That was loose.
Yeah. Can't be many left.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Get down to the end of the list here.
Mike Logan?
Yep,
I got one update. We heard back from NDOT on the request for an extension regarding the Indian Hill Railroad crossing. They approved our request for the extension, so we're going to have a one-year extension. As a reminder, we are applying for a federal grant that will provide funding. It will be an 80-20 match for the to establish the railroad crossing. We'll give you more updates once we have submitted the application. It's due on Monday. However, I believe Kevin Allen will come to talk to you, commissioners, individually about certain information he'll need in order to submit it on that Monday deadline. It's kind of like a letter of intent application, meaning we'll apply for the funding. However, we can pull out before, I think it's sometime in February or March, when they would actually have to allocate the funding. So even though we're submitting an application at this point, we're not going to essentially sell ourselves on having to do this 80-20 match. We can still pull out before we actually have to get the money. So just keep that in mind. And that's the only update I have.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mike. I'm glad to hear there is maybe some option for funding. I don't think anybody has a problem with reopening that crossing. A new crossing there, it's just going to cost a lot of money, and Brown County just doesn't have the kind of money to do that on its own. So, you know, if we get the right help, it'd be great. So, you know, there's money out there, various projects, you know, where to go and ask for it. That's
did you?
Part of what we have ARA for.
Did you have something else, Kevin? Or did you abandon yourself? Because you're an option, you just bid.
Well, yeah, up five. I've got a bunch of documents I can share with the two of you about that grant application.
And when are they supposed to meet with us individually?
Yeah. Anytime you're available.
So you're the one we need to meet with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, where's all my paperwork at? This is not a small task. I was talking with Mike earlier today, and he's I got my nose into this probably 2-3 years ago, I don't know how many pages a year, 60 pages of Federal Highway and Railroad, Federal Railroad Association, applications and guidelines and letters of intent, and preliminary estimates and drug-free work environment even. So, okay, if that's what you want. Now, they're the ones that's got the money, so we can jump through their hoops. But to just to reiterate what Mike said, this is a 80-20 grant. It is spread out over at least two, possibly three fiscal years. And part of this process is they're asking you how much money would you do you think you'll need per fiscal year. So to tag on to Eric's worries, you know, concerns about funding and stuff, 80-20, but you don't need the whole 20% match for the entire project in one fiscal year. You look at, you look at, we'll have to do, I mean, there'll be a, that's going to be a pretty entailed NEPA requirement, your national EPA clearance, Environmental Protection Agency, with your wetlands, the Sycamore Land Trust, Nature Conservancy, the railroad, the fiber optic, endangered species, wetlands, flood zone, you name it. I think you got them all thrown in one spot the size of this room, it seems like. So as you progress through the program, you'll commit to X number of dollars per year per phase of the project. What Mike reiterated to is this, kind of like the ready applications, it's just a big letter of intent. We're interested in applying for your funds. The problem is they didn't allow us to start looking at this until about 4 weeks ago. They made the announcement that the program was going to be out there, and then back August, first week of August, they said, here's the program, and they initiated, here's the verbiage, here's the process. So even though we knew about it back in March, we couldn't do anything with it until the Federal Highway and the Federal Railroad Association released the application, opened the door for applications. So what you end up doing is putting a lot of work into this thing, and in a very short time frame. We have it pretty much wrapped up. I wish I was farther along, but there's just too many fires, like Dave has yelling for help. The key to this is please turn it in, because once the clock turns to 12:01 a.m. Tuesday, the door is closed. Okay, and I know that's not a lot of time. Even if we're not complete, we're not perfect, we can still turn it in, and we've got our place in the door.
I can do sometime tomorrow.
Okay.
That I'm out on Friday.
Okay.
But
I'll go ahead and leave this with both of you.
That don't work for you tomorrow or Monday.
Yeah.
Scott and Blake will be back.
Yeah.
Teresa, we can try and schedule each of us a time with him.
Yep.
So if for some reason, and you're going to choke when you see the bill, the estimate on this, it's not cheap. Because, again, we've got those 14 points in that agreement with NDOT, that letter that they gave us the extension on, meeting all those things. We have to develop a plan that does all those things first. Then we can claim hardship and say, we understand why you're asking for that particular item, but good Lord, is it going to be difficult and expensive. Can you give us some relief on one of those 14 items? We have to show them the cost, then we can ask for relief. So that's going to be an issue as we work through this. If we get the money to actually do a, do an engineering design. One of the things, and someplace in here I've got the little nice colorful rainbow chart that they give you. This program has three steps. You do your preliminary planning, then you do your engineering and contracts, and then you do your construction. What we're going to be applying for is part two and part three. I've already got part one done for you, the preliminary engineering. Okay, so all of the stuff that's been running around, and I know you guys were out there when we met with the railroad, some time, and the draft plan that I put together, that all meets all the criteria for your step one.
Good job.
So we're up in front of it, and we can get this turned in. So there you go.
Good deal.
Oh, I'm sorry. As finish that rambling, but it's been a long week. If for some reason, prior to you getting a check, or however they give you the money electronically these days, if for some reason the matching funds cannot be secured through council or whatever means, you can say, thanks, but we're not ready. It does not give you a black mark on in the grant world. Okay? You get the black mark if you take the money and then can't complete the task. That's where you get a little, you know, F from them at. So the point of saying that we get it in, we can still work on securing the match money over the next few months, maybe even into this third quarter of next year, depending on when they release money. And, of course, if we get selected, there's like $1.6 billion or something like that that they put out there for these things across the country, and this is the next to last fiscal year for it. Again, you've got an out until you accept the first dollar. Then you get the black mark.
So the only hang up is whether we got the 20%.
Right.
We can stretch it out.
And you can work with council over the next 6 months figure out how to secure that. Again, just like with his bridge program, you can spread this over a couple fiscal years. So you don't have to take the whole, let's say it's $1.6 million to do this. It's not going to be cheap because the railroad talked about $450,000 for those gates alone. So you can do that 20% match for the engineering and bidding, and then you can get the next round 20% match for construction in a different fiscal year.
So this is just for the crossing that don't have anything to do with the bridge?
No, we're not going down into that low water crossing. Unless you guys decide you want to try and tackle it, I would not. Only thing you're worried about is getting the grades elevated so that a car can stop, look both ways before they cross the tracks.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, one thing at a time, exactly. And if you look at that, if I leave these two, you'll notice that some of these pages are highlighted in green and yellow, and some of them are just plain. Well, my big fancy copier at the office runs out of yellow toner in the midst of spitting all this out. So it's one of those days.
That's a pretty thick stack of papers.
Well, there's five or six copies here. I didn't know who was going to need to take a look at them. So, but you remember the plan and profile sheet I distributed? I think I gave it to you guys. Still looking at that. I'm doing the estimates, such off that alignment and whatever. We're in good shape.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate what you do.
If you can let me know what time of day works for you before you leave, I appreciate it.
Okay.
So I can schedule you. Are we there?
I can do it tomorrow. I have to be here.
11:30 anyway. But I can do afternoon, early afternoon, or right after him.
Yeah, whatever works. I can't be here Friday, but tomorrow's Monday. So. You have a question? Come to the mic.
Yes, thank you. My name is Clara Stanley. I'm resident of Brown County. And actually, the letters I submitted is the letter of intent to be appointed a CVC, Convention Visitors Commission. And the reason, because that I think of Brown County is so abundant with full of talents. And the problem is that we, everywhere I have seen, is we are crying for money. And what we are not addressing is that we need to bring more money to our Brown County. And what we have done, myself, I also feel responsible for this, that we, you know, looking at grants and nonprofit, but we have not been fully paying attention to our money engine, which is our tourism business. And recently I came to paying attention. As you well know, that the CVC and CBB conflict, they are working right now, but that issue had been addressed, should have been addressed about 10 years ago. The thing is that this CVC and CBB is kind of suffering from, in my opinion, is lack of adequate leadership. And it is kind of a, it takes a lot of experience. If I was here 10 years ago, I had no idea what I'm talking about. But, you know, 10 years of living in Brown County, getting to know people, getting involved in community, I came to really conclusion that this is really right leadership in the right position with my own specific talents can be a big, make a big difference. And what we really need to focus on now is that instead of outcrying for money, we need to bring our attention to how we can bring more money and how we can make money flowing more efficiently, effectively, so that our Brown County residents are aware what's going on, and also they can put in input, plus that we select these leaders who can solve the problem. Not complain about the problem, solve the problem. So I'm really thankful for this opportunity that I came to a point that I am really, I can identify the problems with all the talents present here. And what we need to do, that we need a leadership, whatever the part, leadership that are involved and ready to commit and communicate and collaborate with the rest of Brown County. That is extremely important task, and that's why I really want part of it. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your comments, and we have your letter of interest here. Certainly going to give it consideration.
You entertain a motion?
I would entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that motion. On favor, raise your right hand and say aye. Thank you all for coming.